Hello and welcome.
Hey. I give you 1 week in that seat and you think you just own it now?
I mean, it felt good, you know?
I bet it did. I'm back. This is the
welcome.
Yay! And the peasants rejoice.
Yay! This is the Pithams Podcast, episode number 129. And in honor, I'm the host, Angelo, and in honor of my gracious co-host, today I will be mispronouncing everybody's name incorrectly and doing nothing but talking about Mardu. You fox.
You're hoping you wouldn't listen and that we could get that through?
Well, you know, I mean, like, while the master is away, the imps will play kind of thing,
yep.
Right?
I guess.
Hey, we didn't ruin the show.
That's
so
true.
That's a good...
That is true, but I mean, your logic there just falls so short. You wouldn't listen, but here, edit it.
Well, you know.
But honestly, Will, Mike, thanks guys for last week. I really appreciate that.
It was cool, man. I mean, it was good to be able to give you the week off. Like, I know how seriously you take this, and you know, you're one of those mailman kind of guys, you know, rain, snow, or shine. So just, it was good that when you needed it, we were there.
Yeah, it absolutely was. For those listening, wondering what happened to me, two Tuesdays ago, we recorded a show. That night, I had a toothache.
It's true.
And like, I faked my way through happiness to put that show out. The next day I woke up and the side of my mouth was three times the size that it should be. And I was throwing up everywhere. Apparently the poison had gotten into my system. I had a completely abscessed tooth.
Abscessed.
Yes. I ended up going to the ER, getting, pills for that. And then I had to go have the tooth pulled and yada, 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 yada. I haven't been able to drink beer for 2 weeks. That part has reasons.
Oh, what about whiskey?
No alcohol, dude. It makes the antibiotics not work.
You gotta switch your antibiotics.
I did, however, get painkillers for about a week.
Yeah!
So it wasn't like I was sober the whole time. But yeah, that's why I was gone last week. I was just in no shape to talk, move my mouth, or do anything. So, I tip my hat to these fine fellows for, replacing me and doing a wonderful job post-edit.
Post-edit hurt. It was a great tournament. Really fun stuff. New format and all that. So, you know,
yeah, that really disappointed me to miss that. Like, I really wanted to talk about the new format. I mean, I hope the notes were all good for you guys. And
notes were great. I mean, fucking notes still carried the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like we had a good producer. I should have dropped a produced by line.
Yeah.
128 produced by Gongswoib.
But, we're going to go to Dallas, Fort Worth, where a few major things kind of happened.
Wow.
our top eight. Okay, let me start real quick by saying that at the end of day one during the sealed deck, there was six undefeated decks. We had Pat Chapin, who was on white-black. He had a Graveblade Marauder and a Sentinel of the Eternal Watch. Those were his most notable cards that I found. We had Shuhei Nakamura.
Solid deck, though. His black-white deck was super solid.
Super solid. We had Shuhei Nakamura. He was on blue-red, and he had a Pia in Kira Nalar.
The thing that makes your artifacts turn into bombs.
Yes.
He had the rogue as well, the Whirler Rogue.
Yeah, he did have the Whirler Rogue.
It's like a great Thopter producer.
Absolutely is. But really, Pia and that card just can carry that type of deck.
Sure, for sure.
We had a white-red deck from Chris Fontaine, and his big cards were Kytheon's Regulars and Ember Maw Hellion.
Whew.
Yeah.
Both really good
spice.
Yeah.
At five.
Turn four, Kytheon's Regulars. Turn five, Ember Maw Hellion. Deal with that. Doesn't seem fair. We had a red-black deck from Calvin Gravel, and he had Chandra.
Oof.
Okay.
Fires of Kaladesh. He had Languish.
That's a good card. That's a blowout.
And he had this bomb. Hanger Back Walker.
That card's really good.
It really is. We also had Gregory Orange finishing the day undefeated. Hanger Back Walker. Two Zendikar Incarnate. And when you have Zendikar Incarnates, what card do you want most? Oh, you want Nissa.
Nissa. Shit. Yeah, no, his list was nasty. Shuhei on the only blue list.
Gregory Orange did splash a little blue. but I'll get into
that. Okay, well, alright, so I was gonna give the Citrus Assassin the only green deck red, but like-
It was the only green deck.
Tons of red.
Yes.
Like, lots of white too, but tons of red.
We also had, Robert Smith with blue-white. He went 8-0-1, so technically undefeated, so let's talk.
Oh, okay, alright, I definitely misspoke.
He had a Majoring Responder.
That thing is, like, insane if you get to 7.
Yes, and he had 3 Topin Free Blades, which is one of the better commons.
So good. 3 Vigilance all day.
So, of these 1,676 players, 198 will make day 2. But of the 6 undefeated decks on the day, we had 3 of them that had white. We had what I am going to refer to as 2.25 blue decks, because Gregory Orange did splash a little blue just for the new mana war.
Yeah, that guy's good. Oh, yeah. Separatist Void Mage.
Separatist Void Mage.
Yes. We had 2 black out of the top 6. We had 4 red and 1 green. So white and red were clearly the colors.
Yeah, I mean, just open Boros just like every other format.
White is really deep. Red is really deep.
Oh, it's so deep. Like just Renown in general is a super sweet mechanic. It's everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So of those 1,676 players, we had 192 making day 2. Which breaks us down to a very star-studded top 8 on day 3.
Ooh.
Or, you know, like, no, this isn't the Pro Tour yet.
2.5.
Yeah. So, we had Joel Larson,
who the best hair in Magic.
Is it the best hair?
It's a Swedish Brian Kibler.
Did you see his palm? Man.
His new cut's nice. Versus Dan Jordan, and Dan Jordan wins that 2-1. We had, Ari Wiznitzer.
Wow, there was a hidden syllable there. I thought it was Wiznitzer, but Wiznitzer is much better.
Yeah, Wiznitzer.
Yeah.
Versus Ross Miriam. We don't have to say Wiznitzer's name anymore because Ross Miriam is Swedish.
Damn it. Wiznitzer was number 1 in the Swiss.
He was.
Yes.
We had David Ochoa.
Wow.
Versus Nathaniel Smith. Nathaniel Smith wins 2-0. And then we had the match to end all matches. Shuhei Nakamura versus Gregory Orsch. Shuhei wins 2-0.
In about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it did not take long. Shuhei's top 8 deck, insane. Shuhei goes up against Nathaniel Smith. Sorry, Nathaniel Smith. I just said Shuhei's deck was insane.
Yeah, Ross Miriam, he's a pretty good up-and-coming American Magic player.
Yeah, I mean, he successfully made the transition from SCG Pro to legit pro.
Yeah, yeah, really like the kind of the next class of that, you know, like pro rating. I think it's really cool that America has a sweet farm system the way we do.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like he got called up from AAA.
Right. Totally. Facing end boss.
Right, so Ross Miriam does beat Dan Jordan. Then Ross Miriam goes up against Shuhei Nakamura. Shuhei Nakamura wins this, tying him with Kai Buda and Yuya Watanabe for the most
cheats
of all time with 7. And Will, there's something we say about Shuhei all the time. And what was that?
He's the best Magic player ever, or the best
limited Magic player.
Oh man, dude!
Not only is this his 7th GP win, this is his 7th limited GP win.
Oh, they're all limited.
They're
GP
all
wins?
Limited.
Like, I just remember watching Shuhei in the original Ravnica block, like doing. If you just watch any top 8 draft from any tournament in that point in time, he's in it. You know, so just like you learn a lot from the guy. He's absolutely the man. You know, really like class act guy.
Oh, so good. And when it seems like this format suits him, which is scary for everybody next week.
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's one of the back to basics formats, you know, that praises a lot of like just core fundamental knowledge of the game mechanics, and still has the potential to give you really high power level as well.
Yeah, with a core set, I would expect Shuhei, Ben Stark, those guys to do during the draft portions coming this weekend. But something that we do need to bring up about this before we start going into our top 2's deck list is Alexander Hain won the GP Player of the Year, edging Pascal Maynard.
Big deal throughout the weekend.
Yeah, so he made it. That is his world's invite. So congrats to Mr. Hain.
Yeah, good job, man. Like, Alexander Hain's a great Magic player, and he does the True North proud.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, his numbers, if you look at, like, his PT numbers, they're not very good. Like, he's not done well at PTs at all this year, but... his GP numbers are unreal.
Yeah, yeah, like just top 32, top 16 median finish every time.
Yeah,
he had like, what, did he have 14 GPs this year where he made pro points?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely absurd. So, you know, congrats to him. Congrats to Pascal too, because he really, like, to take it into the last week, that's kind of absurd considering how well Alexander Haynes, season was this year.
Yeah.
And I think Haynes had one decent, PT finish this year, but outside of that, it's been bad.
Yeah, Pascal did spike at a good time. I mean, he kind of came on strong late, but Heem was really solid throughout the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. So...
I just want to say also real quick, I like Ocho, David Ochoa going, gearing up really well with a GP finish. All the Channel Fireball guys did show up. It wasn't,
Not all of them. Pantheon, half of Pantheon wasn't there.
Okay.
They were already, cause Kai has been sitting in the frozen north for over a week now testing. That's scary.
Yeah. A lot of the pro teams, there was a contention on whether or not they showed up in any kind of force. And, you know, Channel Fireball did put some guys out there.
They did.
It's good to see David Ochoa gear up really well, you know, like learning the limited format the week before the pro tour. You know, he's a guy who, if things are really well, can have great success. This guy's a great Magic player. So
absolutely. Yeah. It was good to see him in the top eight. The top eight was actually very stacked. This was
super stacked. Like, who, you know, there's one or two names that aren't household at this point in time, but everyone else is known.
Which is hilarious because I, you know, so often you hear people say, oh, well, when you do sealed, it all comes down to your pool. Why is it that I keep seeing these names? You know, it's like six of the eight are like household names for sure.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, come on.
Sealed's still Magic, and like, A, pool matters. B, like, building the correct pool matters, which is a huge skill. And C, like, just your play skill throughout the rounds matters a whole lot. That's only day one, and then there's two draft pods that you should 3-0.
That you absolutely have to get through. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, limited GPs are awesome.
Watching these finals, the final match was insane, but we need to go over these deck lists before we do it. Will.
Yo.
You mind going over Shuhei's green-white insane list?
No, I would love to go over the green-white insanity. Is that a new keyword mechanic, or is it just something that Shuhei's working on?
It's just something that Shuhei just has perfected.
All right, so we're going to lead it off with 17 creatures. We have a Charging Griffin, a Leash Gilder, two Rocks Maulers, which is, man, so solid, right. Giant man, one Cleric of the Forward Order for the curve, one Totem Guide Heartbeast, one Orchard Spirit, one Dwinin's Elite, two Timberback Wolf.
Timberback.
I have been drinking. I apologize. One Anointer of Champions, one Llanowar Empath, Gaia's Revenge, one Farika's Disciple, one Ampyrn Tactician, one Valyrian Wardens, and one Herald of the Pantheon. We have a Tragic Arrogance for absolute blowouts. Might of the Masses is a one of. We have one Enshrouding Mists, was just like, was really a constant throughout all the white lists throughout the day. Just like super value. All three things it does are really powerful. And, as a one mana instant, is just insane value. And then I had Titanic Growth as the third instant. We have two Suppression Bonds as Totem Guide Heartbeast Tutor Fodder. 17 lands rounded out. I'm looking for any kind of playable sideboard cards. Kind of Yoked Ox to Curve Down.
Not worth going over. He didn't need them.
Yeah, not a whole lot. Way. Yeah, not a lot. Just so, like the perfect 40.
Yeah, I know in game one of the finals, he had out a Rock Smaller and a bunch of other critters, and so did Ross Miriam. But one of Ross Miriam's creatures was Suppression Bond, so he Tragic Arrogances, keeping a Rock Smaller.
Oh, no!
Keeping the Suppression Bonds as his enchantment, letting him keep the creature that had the Suppression Bonds on it, swings in, his Renown pops on the Rock Smallers, and in the following turn he goes Gaia's Revenge.
Jesus Christ!
Jeez.
Wowzers. Yeah, I didn't watch the top eight. I watched the Swiss in the morning on Sunday, but was not around for the top eight.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, that did take long.
That's insane. Like, Tragic Arrogance, like, continues to overperform over the first couple weeks of the season. Kind of a card that stood out as maybe really good and is working.
Yeah, it was just absolutely insane, especially when you follow it up with a Gaia's Revenge. I'm just like, that's not even fair.
Yeah, that's just stats. Yeah, card.
I mean, with the Suppression Bonds on the one creature that he let the other guy keep, and then he's just like, swing four, now it's a 6/6, and here's an 8/5 with haste. Do
eight,
I win?
Like, that's like Hearthstone numbers. That's not even fair.
I didn't hear anything fair out of anything you just said.
No, there was nothing fair about it at all. It was just great. So, Mike, do you want to go over Ross Miriam's green blacklist?
Sure.
This is a nice green blacklist. I mean, he tried to fly, but he just went up against the wrong deck when you talk about that one card that just kills everything.
Jeez, going wide is no bueno.
We're going to start with 18 creatures, and we're going to kick things off with a Mana Gorger Hydra.
Good card.
Wow.
Yep. Follow it up with a Despoiler of Souls, three fetid imps.
Insane.
Oh, man.
A shambling ghoul, one eyeblood assassin, two thornbow archers, an outland colossus.
That's a bomb.
Two shaman of the pack, a rock smaller, two Llanowar empaths, a sylvan messenger, a Yiva's force mage, and a dead bridge shaman. We have a wild instincts at sorcery for fight and pump and removal. Good things for green. Artifacts, there are four.
We have, sorry, just real quick. Yeah. Apologize.
Especially with two shaman of the packs, that's a real good number.
It's a high number.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Artifacts, we have four. An alchemist vial, a veteran sidearm, and two warhorns. So definitely just all in aggression.
So what's Yin's opinion on the warhorn? I've seen the card a couple times and I've liked it in a couple situations and, you know, obviously it's not a great card, but I think it's situationally, it's pretty powerful.
I think there's a couple decks.
It depends on how many two and three drops you have in creatures.
Fair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I also, like, obviously the Thopter deck just absolutely loves it.
Yeah, the Thopter deck likes it, Red White likes it, and the Elves like it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a pretty good summation.
Your Swarm decks want, you know, one of these on the table, because when you're putting down a bunch of 1/1s and 2/2s, like, turning them into 2/1s and 3/2s really makes a difference. Especially, you know, when your 2/1s are usually the Flying Thopters.
Yeah, 3/2, though, that's a great number for an attacker.
It is.
Yeah.
The Alchemist Vial has been really good as well. A lot better than I thought
concur.
It was
gonna be. Yeah, well, the fact that it cantrips, and, you know, kind of pseudo time walks, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So, did you mention that he had a Rogue's Passage?
Was about to.
Okay, I'm
Thank you though.
Sorry. He was coming.
Yeah, he did have, 7 forests, 8 swamps, and Evolving Wilds in a Rogue's Passage. So he
That's a late game plan.
Plenty
actually.
Of ways to push through damage.
Yeah. Especially in a deck where you don't have a bunch of big creatures. Like, just, you know, you play a Shaman of the Pack, deal its damage, and then you can start Rogue's Passaging that 3 in every turn. Like, that's a legit plan. And if you get out your Outland Colossus with a Rogue's Passage, that's not fair.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it's also worthy to note that Despoiler of Souls is a pretty serious late game plan just in any kind of attrition based battle, like another card that's been overperforming early.
Yes, the 3 strength is really important in this format, it seems.
Mm-hmm, for
it
sure.
It seems like it's going to kill most uncommons, and I said most, and most commons just having that 3 strength. And when you can constantly return it, especially in a deck with 18 creatures, like that's legit.
Yeah, you could almost say all
a decent amount of rares as well.
Yeah, that's true. But now when I went over this list, I only saw one green in sealed. But our two top decks in draft have green in it. Is green, when focused, do you feel it's just a better color and that's why it performs better in draft than what it did in the sealed portion?
This one's super tough. Super early, low sample size, and powerful green rares open, so it's tough to say early, but like, I feel like green is the budget color of this format. It's something that is shunned by the upper echelon, so
it
that,
is.
You can get high power green picks. Like, I watched a draft on Sunday morning when, the Somberwold Alphas were like tabling. And that's just, that's really not good if you're not playing green, you know? It's bad. Like, as far as, like, I didn't pick it as the power color. I picked red as being really the power color with white as also being a really good color.
Yeah, white is stupid-y. Like, I really like white.
Yeah.
See, I had the same thing about red. Like, when I just looked at it and I'm like, every single red card that I see is just playable. Like, they're all just great. And white, I mean, like, white is always absurd and limited these days. It's just the limited color, you know?
But yeah, the thing I found with green, and, you know, maybe you guys can echo it or, you know, tell me whether I'm right or not, is when it's focused, because when you pull it into the sealed pool, you're getting Elves cards, which is one deck, and you're getting another deck, which is like your green-red Stompy.
Well,
and the two doesn't match real well together, but when you can focus in like a draft format, it comes together better and it seems to be a lot stronger than what it is in sealed. I don't want to say that it's still like
That could be symptomatic of the fact that there are the 10 different guilds in this, so to speak, the 10 different two-color combinations. Like, green might be the most confused among itself.
That's kind of what I was getting at, because like white, it doesn't matter if you're taking from the white blue or you're taking from the white red.
No, they're all just great rate on all the creatures and all, and you know, it's fine stuff. You know, I don't know. I think that green is probably not the best color, and it's probably the fourth best color.
I think it might be the worst, honestly.
It might be worse than blue.
I don't know how much Origins you guys have gotten to play, but like I really like this Tutelage decks.
Those things are insane. If you have two Sphinxes tutelage in your skill pool, you're probably gonna win. Like,
when you draft them, it's nuts.
Dude, I mean, I lost to it in the finals of my PT or whatever the fuck it was. That tournament. That thing. Yeah, it happened. Shit, that card's real.
Yeah, so like, I mean, when I get that deck, I'm happy with it, but aside from that deck, like, the Jesse and Thief with the new Mana War, like, that's almost a combo on its own.
I totally concur. And I mean, I think that, green is probably is the worst color. But like, man, red and white though, they're definitely out there.
Yeah, but
super green, good. It's sad to call green the worst color because of how many powerful
combos.
Because
it's really good. It's really good. It's just the set itself is great.
No specific, like, color that no one really wants to be in. Like in Pharaoh's block, you rarely wanted to be powerful. Yeah, like in Pharaoh's block, when you were drafting, there were certain color combinations you never wanted to be. Like, until the third set of the block, you never really wanted to be that blue-red player in draft, because the stuff you were doing was nowhere near the power of other decks. And I feel like, for draft, green is probably the best building block to start on, because it's synergizes so well with other colors.
I would start with the red. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, realistically, the thing with green, and again, you know, this is just from a little bit of experience I have with it so far, it's just like, you can put together a monster deck with green.
True. You
can put together a deck that legitimately has the highest top end, but when it doesn't come together, it's a fucking disaster. Because, like, you know, when you have a couple elves and at the same time you're trying to play, I mean, unless they're Leafgilders go in any green deck, but like, if you have a couple elves and then at the same time you're playing like Zendikar Incarnates, it's like, okay, let's hope that these 1/1s can get me to when I get this 4/4 down. Fuck.
That said, the green-black elf deck is
very good when it comes together.
Wow. Really, really synergistic.
Yeah, it goes wide. You don't want to run into Tragic Arrogance, though.
It goes wide, it has reach, and it has removal, which is strange because it's green-black. You know,
right.
It does it all.
It absolutely does. It's very reminiscent of Lorwyn Elves.
It's true. Absolutely.
I mean, the Lorwyn Elves was like the deck where you got wide and you had this little spot removal to keep getting in a little more damage, and it plays the same way.
We're just not in Lorwyn block, which is great.
Right? No Kith getting to deal with.
No Merfolk, no fucking tokens.
No fairies.
Fairies wasn't that bad in draft. Like, Kithkin was horrendous.
They got the, I think it's Dream Spoiler Witches, the one that every time they play a spell, not on their
on your turn.
Yeah. Oh, man, -1/-1 to a creature. Just, brutal.
Yeah, well, the thing, if I, you know.
Especially when you Pepper Smoke having a fairy, you're gonna give a creature -2 and draw a card.
My going back to, that era of Magic, the thing with the fairies deck was early on, it wasn't that bad because all your good fairies were like rares and uncommons.
It's true.
Like a Mistmind Click,
you had a lot of merfolk in the Lorwyn only fairies lists.
Yeah, and
Kithkin
was insane in that set because commons and uncommons, there was that uncommon giant that brought 3 Kithkin with it.
Cloud Goat Ranger.
And, you know, you played that and then you had all these little, you know, common Kithkins that were just good. I think Wizen Sen was only an uncommon. And
it's true.
It's just nuts in that
format.
You know, Mistbind Click's a very, very powerful rare to have, but not when it's your only 2 of 3 fairies in a sealed pool.
Then it's just not even a card.
Nope. You just don't play.
I did a Phantom Seal. 2 Mistbind Click is my rares. I had 1 or 2 other fairies in my deck.
That's great.
In my pool. So I'm like, wow, this sucks. Not playing fairies.
No, I mean, you can champion another Mistbind.
Yeah, but the first one is hard to get.
Right. You just have to draw both of them and have 8 lands.
Yeah, it's a combo. But we're gonna take a break because we're way off of topic right now.
Sorry.
It's kind of my fault. And we will be back in a moment.
Hi everybody, I'm here yet again to tell you guys about Titan Game Shop. Place is absurdly great. Price is good. They always take care of their clients. They ship internationally. I mean, what more can you ask? Their packaging of singles is top-notch, unreal. Look, these guys have treated us extremely well, and in turn, I hope a lot of you are treating them also extremely well. The things that they've done for the Pit Imps podcast and beyond is just unmentionable how much there is. I'm not going to put my name on something I don't believe in, plain and simple fact, and these guys are doing the gaming shop right, so I'm definitely going to put my name on that. Anything you need, singles, sealed product, hell, sleeves, and just, you know, deck boxes. Get a hold of them. They'll be more than happy to ship them out to you and let them know that the Pit Imps sent you. That's Titan Game Shop, TAITAN, GameShop.com.
And we are back. we have a little bit of news that popped up. We have From the Vault Angels that came out that has been announced officially.
Oh my god. If there weren't enough white cards out there.
Right. We know four of the cards. The three that they are announcing with, because they can't hide them because they're like literally on the cover, is a Chroma Angel of Wrath.
Chroma's beautiful.
Yeah, it's done by Therese Nielsen. She also did the Red Chroma.
Angel of Fury.
Yeah.
In this set?
Yes, she announced that on her website. So, and then I think she quickly put it down because she wasn't supposed to yet.
Yeah, she heard she was previewing a Chroma and put the wrong art up.
Yeah, so, but.
She spoiled both at the same time whenever they told her. She could spoil
a Chroma. Yeah, it was like, you can spoil a Chroma. She was like, oh, okay. And then she put them both up and they're like, hey, whoa. And now, you know, it's only the
one. Yeah, this white one though, man, it's really nice. It's actually a higher kind of level of detail than Therese usually gives us. More lifelike, but, still kind of the same hazy radiance of it. Really
yeah,
cool.
She still has her style to it.
Yeah, she's very stylistic.
We also have Iona Shield of Amara, and we have Avacyn Angel of Hope, and these were done by Jason Chan. I really like the Iona. He does more of my art style, like I've said a million times. I'm not.
I like that Iona.
Is it a new Avacyn? It's the original Avacyn, right?
It looks like maybe the Spireback is new. I don't have a copy on me to check.
No. I think that's the original art. But this new Iona art is super.
Oh yeah,
crazy,
really cool.
Like super deep. It gives a very wide perspective on it.
And that sword,
especially her size.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like turns in the.
I didn't even. I thought that was like a building, not a sword. It looks very massive.
It is massive.
God, Iona's a bitch too. I hate her.
Oh man, talk about easiest way to win a draft.
Don't even do that. Man, that happened to me in what was it? The holiday cube.
Oh.
It was so bad. I was mono black and they just slammed Iona. Like, just like it's supposed to happen, you know?
Naming black.
Way to make
That'll make you pick up your cards.
Yeah, no, it did twice. Yeah, that was around.
Yeah, you just can't.
Oh, I can't.
It's horrendous. But, you know, these are coming out August 21st, so, you know, very shortly here. And that's all we have to say about that.
Unfortunately, yeah, it should be a pretty good pickup. All these white angels, they're all pretty valuable. And
hoping there's some non-white.
I'm sure there will be all five colors represented. Like, there are definitely angels of every color. Most of them have white in the casting cost, but
don't forget
the Gardam, probably guessing for green.
Platinum Angel is guaranteed to be in here, no doubt. Auto lock. Like, what's the green one that says permanence can't be sacrificed? You know, there's like a couple
of red.
Yeah,
Gardam.
Yep. There's multiple Boros angels. Like, Boros just kind of has angels as a theme.
There's,
I think Fireman Angel.
Gisella.
Yeah, I mean, like, even original Ravnica, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's out there. Like, I would love to see the blue-white angel that's protection from everything. I think that, or protection from all colors. That's a sweet card. Or that's an angel.
Yeah. There's a lot of good angels that it could
there's
be.
There's a Metalcraft angel. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff. And, you know, even like, artifacts and enchantments as well. You know, everything's represented.
Who knows, they might throw a curveball and throw some angel land in here.
It's possible.
Closest thing, unless they print something new, it would have to be Sarah's Sanctum, which is...
Or Vault of the Archangel.
Vault of the Archangel. Yeah, I guess that's a thing.
But anyway, you know, to be realistic, I feel bad for him. To say I'm gonna pick 15 angels and put them in a box is pretty tough. There's a lot of angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many iconic too.
Jeez. I'm like, I actually think 15 gives you a lot of space for real. 10 would be a good angel number. Top 10 angels is a hard thing. 15, you have a lot of space.
I don't know. I can come up with 15 and leave a lot off.
Yeah,
that's what it's supposed to be, though. It's the From the Vault.
Yeah, so. I mean, but that's, I feel bad for having to do that. Anyway, bigger news, and this is big to me because I've been crying about this for 2 years. On Blogatalk, this information comes from Mark Rosewater. So unless somebody hacked his account, these are facts. We will no longer be getting seeded packs.
Yes!
During RP releases, starting with Battle of Zendikar, we are
real sealed.
6 packs of cards and 1 stamp review card that can be any rare or mythic rare from the set.
Any? So all mythics are on the table.
So we get all mythics, all rares on the table.
We get 7 rares in our sealable now?
Well, the question is, and he doesn't state this yet. He
doesn't replace the pack.
We don't know if it's playable.
That's even better. I hope it's not playable.
So
like, I hope we just go back to the old school not playable. If, like, if it's old school not playable and everyone has their own individual playable promo or non-playable promo, it's like better than it used to be.
I think so too, because you do have that shot of hitting the home run.
Yeah, and although I will never do it, someone will, and it's better for them rather than everyone getting the same trash promo.
Right, and you know, if the new fetches come back in Zendikar, or the old fetch, or the Zendikar fetches.
Come on, man, that's too soon.
A promo fetch? Ooh.
It's too soon. They
it is.
Fetches. Oh, look, it'll be three to five years for the next fetches.
Promo Scalding Tarn? Anyone want to give me $150 for this thing?
I will give you $150 right now for a promo Scalding Tarn, Mike.
Alright, you just have to wait for Battle for Zendikar.
Sounds great.
He said right now.
Right
no,
now,
no, 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 I give him the money now. No, I give him the money now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He just has to open it.
Payment upon delivery.
Okay, we also have some MTGO news that we need to talk about. Those went a lot quicker than I expected. Although there really wasn't much to talk about. You really broke it down.
No.
Yeah. So we got our every 3 month, letter from Worth. And rather than reading this whole thing, because there's a lot of crap in here and double talk that, you know, corporations do and all that, I'm going to break this down to you as best as I possibly can.
Please do.
Okay, one of the things that we need to know is they actually have more employees as of right now working on Magic Online than they ever have.
That's great. That's great. That's I mean, they have to keep up. They do. They understand
Unfortunately, they don't give us numbers to compare because they can have one or two more than they ever have, and they technically have more than they ever have.
That's fine. One or two is more than they had.
Yeah, they're still at the most number of Magic Online employees they've ever had, and that's a great thing. Highest number employed.
A couple of the things that having these extra guys has helped with, and I can confirm the first one, is it has lessened the CPU and RAM usage that your computer is going through. Like, you don't have to be sitting on 8 gigs of RAM to play this game anymore. Like, you can get away with 4 now, pretty easily. And I haven't tried it on my other computer yet, so I don't know if 2 works. But it doesn't take up nearly as much. I'm able to do other things while playing. This is good for streamers, especially. Yeah. So
they don't have to, like, buy some expensive computer or build their own just to be able to play this and stream and, like, do something between rounds to entertain their viewers.
Yeah. So, like, that's a big deal. And it's good for, you know, your average person who had to quit because their computer just wasn't powerful enough when V4 came out. Those people now can at least give it a try, you know, and see if their computer, you know, if it's at 4 gigs and they was having trouble in the beginning, give it a try now. I bet you it works a lot better. Because
and that being said, V4 is, once I've learned it, it's not been terrible.
It hasn't, you know what, in the last 3 months, it's gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. Aside from some of the choices they've made. But another thing we should be looking for is an upcoming article from Chris Kiritz. He is going to give us an update about leagues.
Ooh.
Leagues are exciting. That's how Pauper began.
Yes. I'm pumped about leagues.
I'm super pumped on leagues.
When they said, oh, there's going to be leagues, that's when I was like, oh, we're going to start a clan.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We need to have clan fucking rivalry. Absolutely.
Yeah, we need clan leagues. Once the leagues come, there's no excuse for any person not join a clan.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to want to get in there to get into those clan only events, and you know, there's just so many things that clans like do. So once leagues are here, right now they basically do nothing. But he also kind of slightly acknowledges that the Playpoint thing might be a mistake. He acknowledges that.
What are your thoughts on the Playpoint thing, Angelo?
I'll get into it in a minute because that's going to be our next topic. but that was pretty much what his thing said. There's a bunch of bug things in here that you might want to look at. Like, you know, they fixed the damnable pack bug in 36 hours, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot of code to go through. Like, Magic Online code is really, really serious stuff. So, to find and isolate that is pretty good.
Yeah. And what Will was talking about earlier, and another thing that we should talk about real quick about this before I get into the, fallout about MTGO's, Playpoint thing, Vintage Super League is no longer being sponsored by Wizards and it is going to die soon.
Why do you think it'll die?
Because Randy Bueller said he's not doing it if he's not getting paid to do it.
No, he said he was going to try a Patreon to do it.
Yeah,
but
he did
won't do it if the Patreon doesn't fund it.
Patreon, no, the Patreon's going to carry.
I hope.
Yeah.
He's got to get it. He's got to pay like, players right, in himself.
Now, here's the question that I have. Is Wizards sponsoring the Modern or Standard Super Leagues that have opened up?
I don't.
Yes.
Okay,
they're
still
sponsoring Standard.
So Super League is a thing.
Yeah.
So Super League, as long as Super League continues to be a thing and they have a Patreon thing open, VSL is a thing.
Problem. But as of right now,
the quality
it's no longer being sponsored by Wizards, which is going to put it more on the community to keep it alive.
They can have a volunteer VSL, and they don't have necessarily the named players that they have. And, you know, mind you, they're very excellent players, but some of these guys aren't vintage sharks the way Magic Online vintage grinders are. So
yeah, they also, I mean, realistically, the biggest hurt from this is every week it's not going to show up on the mothership. You know,
yeah, like, and that was fine too, but like, I mean, it still got big. It got big enough to get on the mothership page before, and it'll carry without.
Well, it got on the mothership because they were sponsoring.
Yeah, but the reason why they sponsored it was because it was big enough that they noticed it. So,
it was actually created by Wizards. The Gauntlet of Greatness is what Wizards looked at and said, "We want to do this all the time with him."
VSL began before Gone Greats.
Did it?
And it's a Randy Bueller
season one. Did yeah.
No, it's Randy Bueller content for sure. I'm like 95% sure of that. Okay. Yeah, it's his stuff. And like, I get it. I saw the thing where he put out that it wasn't going to be sponsored. I thought that was just a play by him to try and get sponsorship, but I don't think it's going anywhere. The thing that it hurts the league is that they don't have the free accounts anymore where they get to build whatever the fuck they want.
That's a big deal.
But like, then when it actually becomes down, like it becomes as a real vintage tournament metagame if they continue to do it, where people have their decks that they continue to refine card by card, and that's much more indicative of what the format actually is. Really, like, people don't show up like, what, you know, when you see player A, B, or C that they're on deck A, B, or C, they're not gonna all of a sudden switch $15,000 worth of investment onto a deck, you know. So I think that's a scare. I'm pretty sure VSL is going to be around, and if there is a Patreon and they need my $20, I will pay it.
Hey, and who knows, if the Patreon goes well enough, Wizards might decide, hey, I guess people really want this, we might be able to sponsor this.
If
like,
the Patreon goes well enough, fuck Wizards, and Randy Bueller just becomes his own entity, because, like, man, I've been on Randy Bueller's nuts since the famous fucking sacrifice my swamp for a drain life play, but he produces really good content. I thought he's been really good in the booth, and he has been one of the greatest transitions from high-level players to Wizards type executive. I think whatever he's done, in my opinion,
he came up with the idea for Gauntlet of Greatness. So
Gauntlet was insane. I don't think he's been overly stellar in the booth at times. I think
he's been in the booth for 10 years, 12 years. Like, and he sees plays better than the non-pro players do. Like, he's a pro player in the booth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he even sees better lines than the pros.
Sometimes he does. But, you know, I think it's just the personal thing. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love Bueller Blue. You know, so it's not like, you know, I hate the guy. I don't feel that. I personally don't think he's the best one in booth, you know.
He's not the best person, but you also have to understand that he's been in the booth since 2002.
I know.
You know, that's a long time.
It really is. But we're going to go into the MTGO Fallout, and this all happened because of play points. My personal opinion will
last. Last week.
Yes. Well, the things
we need a real grinder,
and they were like, you know, hey, it was great. That shocked me. It really did. This, to me, this is horrible. And one of the big reasons why it's horrible is my own selfishness. I like ticket prices being low because I draft a lot. You know, and that's good for me when ticket prices are really low, because I'm not a construct grinder. So ticket prices are going to go up. That's bad. But the way they're making the ticket prices go up is what got constructed players really, like, up in arms. There's been a massive sell-off of collections. Talking to someone like Adam,
oh my god, Magic players were in an uproar. Get out of here.
Well, talking to the bot owners that I know, they're estimating about 15% of the Magic accounts disappeared. Why?
Wow.
Well, it's gotten tickets down to 90 cents because of this.
Yeah, that's a 1 week phenomenon. They'll level off, and eventually tickets are going to become more expensive because of this, because there's going to be less tickets in float.
Yeah, true. But that's only if the numbers of players move back. It's a weird one. But the biggest problem with the play points is I've seen them described as many different things, and the big one is it's like a Chuck E. Cheese ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
Chuck E. Cheese is awesome.
Fair, but there's no financial value in that thing. You sell it, you trade it.
Okay, here's the difference between a Chuck E. Cheese ticket and a Magic Online, whatever the fun buck, whatever the fuck they're called. If Chuck E. Cheese gave you tokens, then that's what it is. Because they buy you replays.
They do.
So it's not a Chuck E. Cheese ticket. Like, that is hyperbole. That's just rhetoric. It's
no, in a way it is, because it's only value there, and you can't make any value off of it.
Tickets are only value there as well.
But you can make actual cash off of it.
No, that's through gray market shenanigans. Like, tickets have no value after you buy them.
Fair.
Anything else, Wizards has no responsibility, and actually, like, kinda has a legal responsibility to X out. So, like, and Magic Online, it's really close on all the gambling site stuff.
It is, but at the same time, I mean, you're also really, and plus, I mean, daily event prizes went down.
Overall, see, I didn't do any kind of algorithm on it to track
those went down. Like, actual prize giveouts, even if you consider those play points as, you know, 10 of them equals a ticket, those went down.
Right, but
there's no way around that, and that is, you know, that's bad EV.
You project the, I mean, okay, so I know this is bad logic, but like, if the ticket prices are going to, or not tickets, but the pack prices are going to go up in, accordance to the fact that, that there's less packs in the pool as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like, the winners aren't necessarily going to suffer as much, but like, losing is much, much worse than this, for sure.
Fair. But at the same time, like, the big thing was, a lot in the community made the push. And as much as I think it's kind of a ridiculous push, I mean, because we lost probably 15% of our player base when we switched to V4. There's no way around that. That's just a fact.
Yeah, that'll come back.
It might have even been more.
I'm adjusting it to people who probably
Magic loses player base all the time.
But also, about the play points, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they just... I've been trying to get this put across, but you just kept going, so I'm like, okay, I'm not getting around.
All right, go ahead and talk,
but
Mike.
Didn't the play points just replace phantom points? I mean...
They did, but they didn't. Because now they're being used everywhere.
Right. But I really don't... I really feel like a lot of players are overreacting about this.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of overreaction.
Well, that's what Magic players do when changes happen.
They're Magic players. Overreaction's gonna happen. I expect this. Magic players hate change more than anything. I mean, many of them haven't changed their underwear in years and they still sit in their basement.
They also hate changing sideboards. That's why they want cards banned.
But, now what was that?
Let's extend this segment as much as possible.
What? Oh, yeah.
Show notes. I'm fucked.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah.
It's kind of an outlandish proposal. At least I think so. But at the same time, I could meet them halfway. Most people, to get pack prices back up, they said cut the price on the redemption back to where it used to be. Can they do that? Yes. Why can they do that? Because on top of paying for your set redemption, which is $25, you still pay, you know, shipping and handling. So it's not like they're going to lose money on the shipping. So I just
want to let this thing happen before we see how it works.
That's my opinion.
Like this early on, like, we are 4 or 5 weeks before the system is even implemented. Like, any kind of, reaction at this point in time is purely emotionally reactionary and is propelled by mob anxiety. So,
look, I'm not disputing what you're saying. When we're losing players at a high rate and a lot of long time.
How can you take these opinions? This is a straw poll. Like, oh yeah, I'm quitting forever. Like, this guy, like, in 3 weeks we'll be playing Magic Online again. Like, give me a break, you know? He's not even gonna notice that the thing happened.
Look, I have noticed myself, okay? When the switch happened from V3 to V4, there was a drop. Yeah, a noticeable drop. When the switch happened from set redemption from $5 to $25, there was a massive drop in players. Like, I've seen these drops happen, and I haven't seen the rebound that I expected.
There were massive drops when they switched from V1 to V2 and from V2 to V3, and they rebounded from those over time. You just have to have a long enough timeline. You have to, like,
well, the switch from 5 to 25, I mean, that's been around. I mean, that was a while ago. That was still when V3 was out, and I have not seen the rebound I expect from that. And
you think we've had an overall loss of 15% of Magic Online players because of that isolated incident?
I think we probably lost 5 because of that. Okay. And like, I know we lost at least 5% of the bots. They lost a lot of money on that. That's just a fact.
Well,
they couldn't redeem sets to make money.
All right, bots are not a concern of Wizards, and also I don't think they're a concern
to the community.
I disagree with that, because
how are you going to get your singles? You have bots fighting against each other to put out a lower price. that drives singles prices down, which is good.
Yeah, that's
for the
good.
Players.
That's good. So the lowest number of bots fighting, like, okay,
drives singles prices up.
No, only if they're agreeing on it. Like, when you have too diversified of a market, you have too much upkeep cost among the bots themselves. When there's 100 bots having investors needing payment on that, their overhead is higher than it is when it's 30 bots. And this is bad market when you're trying to get people paid and all that stuff. But like when you're trying to buy cards for the cheapest rate, you actually want to buy it from the Hive machine.
And let me see, where else was I going before I was cut off yet again?
Yep, crushing it.
I mean, if you don't want to be cut off, Will and I can just do the show by ourselves again.
I mean, it's just every time I start talking. But, I mean, in general, a lot of people are pissed. The people who make a living off of this game, and a lot of people do play MTGO online, you know, that's how they make their living. I mean, you can't help but feel, I think for your average player, if you're an average player who has a rating between 16 and 1800 and that's unconstructed, like, this is only going to help you in the long run. I truly believe that because you're going to get to play more Magic. Like, when you do a two-man and you're guaranteed five, you're going to get a free one once in a while. So, like, that in its own way is a good thing. I think the players who play this game to make money are hurting the worst. I think your average player, it's probably better for. If you're a limited player, it's not great for you. But let's be realistic, the last 2 years has kind of been a utopia for us. Yeah. I mean, when you're like, I'm going to buy a Fate and Forge pack and it's 1.31 tickets, you're like,
pack
yes.
Prices are insane cheap.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I've been getting drafts in for each set. At some point, I've done a draft under 8 tickets every time.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's with 2 tickets buying. And at that point in time, Wizards is clearly like, and I have giant air quotes, but you can't see it because it's the internet, but they're like losing money. So they're at least losing EV, certainly.
And that's where the constructed players are losing their EV too, because you would play a constructed event,
right.
You'd win a pack, and actually get back less tickets than the 2 tickets it costs you to get in.
Yeah, I mean, definitely on the commands, and for starting. So like,
the dailies were good,
I don't know, I at least want to see if this balances the Magic Online economy, because I will admit right now, the Magic Online economy as it exists this summer and this spring, it's definitely flawed. So like, any change is at least warranted.
Yeah,
hopefully this works, and like, I'd love to look back 18 months from now and go, man, remember when they switched to play points and like, I could just win a draft and buy into a draft for a construct environment or whatever else with all the same currency? Hopefully it's good.
I mean, I hope in the long run that it all works out properly. My biggest concern is truly the constructed dailies, the price, or the drop in prizes given out. Like, they used to be insanely good, then they were just good, and now they're kind of okay. And
yeah, but
they're still
like,
great if you win.
No, they're just like, okay if you win.
They're really great if you 4-0.
But watch,
really
just
are.
Have X amount of dailies not fire for like 2 weeks to a month. Wizards will probably change the prize payout.
Oh yeah,
they
will.
You
really have to look at a 6-month thing, because what this is really going to do is going to readjust the value of the aftermarket packs. The value of packs given out is going to drop by like 60% is what it looks like in the numbers. So hopefully the aftermarket packs are like really, really valuable and they're worth more than the tickets they're worth. So it's cheaper to buy packs in the store. That's the all-time goal of Wizards.
Of the players, I mean.
I mean, I get it. I get it.
I mean,
know.
The players are what is going to continue to buy these things. And I mean, if it's not good for the players, then players, you know, like right now I get in plenty of drafts. Okay. You know, for not much money, I get in plenty of drafts, and I see that number being cut by quite a bit unless I'm doing
well, I mean, this incentivizes you to do really well.
It does, but sometimes, I mean, you just open cards and you're just past shit, and it's like, oh, damn.
Hey,
once in a while, you fall into that hole where you're just like, fuck, this is a train wreck.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not even once in a while.
What?
You win the first round of that train wreck draft, and you just, you know, feel better. Lose the next round, but you feel motivated for the next one.
What next one?
The next draft after you,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Have the train wreck.
The next round. I was going to say, dude, there's no next round.
No. You win the first round with the train wreck. You lose the second round, but you feel good because you won a round with that train wreck. So you enter another draft.
No packs.
Hey, you won a match with a train wreck of a draft.
But I won no packs, so I have to go spend $15 more at price.
It's a slight moral victory. It's a bad victory.
Well, okay, so, I mean, I guess if you want to play Magic for free, you should just log on to your Apple accessory and play whatever the duels format is.
Yeah, I'm playing my duels.
Yeah, so that's your free Magic, and when you want to play, you know, pay for Magic, you play online. I mean, I know it sucks, dude. It really sucks because, like, I'm a player who spends, you know, I like lost Magic Lay because I can't spend the money to do it. So, you know, I mean, I hate thinking about it, but like, I also see that there are incentives for winning more. And, you know, if you're winning, that's great.
If your ultimate goal is to, if as a constructed player, now as a limited player, we just know things are going to cost more.
That's just how it works.
That's just a fact. As a constructed player, if your goal is to play more Magic, I do think the play points allows you to do that. However, if your goal is to make any sort of profit off of this game, I don't think that this helps you.
Well, I just want to see if the market adjusts, because less packs drives prices up on everything. Singles are worth more, packs are worth more, tickets are worth more, everything's just worth more, you know? I mean,
if the demand stays the same.
If the demand stays the same, and like, if there's a loss of 20%+ of the market, then we're fucked.
Yeah, that's really where the...
For sure.
It's like, it's really gonna come down to how many people leave because of this, and how many people stay still. I know the vintage players have all but given up. Because they fucked the vintage players. I don't know. Is what it is. We're gonna have to wait and see how it actually plays out. I'm not at the moment happy with it. But again, that's mainly for my own selfish reasons. I do see the point on the constructed side where we'll play more. Doesn't mean you're going to make money off. And that's, I know, Will, you got by for a few months playing.
I did. At any point in time when I've taken a construct format seriously on Magic Online, it's become financially profitable, even if it's only, like, propelled me to having mediocre draft results for free for a season. Like, Magic has always been a way to make money, and, like, I don't know if, you know, any of this...
I don't know if that's
going
to continue.
Well, that's kind of okay, though, and I know that's bad for players, but, like, if someone was to do research and... This should just probably all be edited out, but if someone's to do research, find out their numbers, Magic players making their income based off of the program online, that would give certain people reasons to put this forth in law, court, you know, agendas and get Magic Online outlawed. Like, online gambling was outlawed. And we really don't want that to happen. So, like, whenever I saw this, I thought it was an in accordance to law kind of thing. And, like, it seemed to me like it's actually more freedom for Magic Online to do its thing. But, like, this really close stuff, like, there was, you know, whenever poker shut down, Magic Online also almost shut down. So, like, we want to keep it open, whatever it takes.
Yeah, it does put them more in accordance with the law. That part I will not question one bit. Well, guys, does anybody remember who won the last PT draft?
Oh,
is it Mike?
I remember.
I'm pretty sure it was Broderick.
Okay, so here's the way it's going to work. I'm going to go first. Will's going to go second. Mike's going to go third. Mike gets the wheel. And then we'll wheel back and wheel back. We're going to get 4 picks. We're going to take the best.
Oh, thank you, 4th pick. I appreciate it a whole lot.
Yeah, we're going to take the best 3 for our final standings. That way, if we have one player who just fails,
it doesn't even show up.
I like it. Angelo, this is a great format. Best 3 of 4, just like in D&D. Great format.
So we're going to do it this way, and I'm going to record everyone's picks. I have 12 picks sitting here for myself in order of how I want
so
to pick
much
them.
Work.
So when you guys take them, just scratch them off and just go to the next one.
Oh, shit.
I have a list of 4 people. I'm hoping to get them all.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I am going to start this with Eric Froelich because he's going for player of the year, and I think he's going to come hard.
There goes one of my 4.
Will, you get the next pick. You were so pumped about doing this draft last week, and now
I didn't do any homework at all.
Well, I did none for the last year, except for like maybe hearing a thing or two on Channel Fireball's Twitch account. So trust me, less homework wins.
I'm gonna go with PBDDR as my first. I know it's probably wasting that in a round, but like I'm pretty sure he's trying to get to the next level up in his pro status. And when Paulo takes it seriously, no one fucks him.
I'm not gonna lie, I think that's a fine pick. He's actually fighting to be captain for the Brazilian team.
Yeah, he's versus Willie Edel, and like if Paulo is inspired to play Magic,
Paolo is very good.
No one is better. Yep. Like, I mean, 10 Peacock.
That is not one of the ones on my list, however, so. But I did think about it. I was like, man, he is fighting for that Brazil team captain. God damn it.
Can I ask what the constructed format is for the Pro Tour?
It is draft. It is standard.
Okay, good. I thought so.
It's Origins draft standard.
Yeah, I thought so.
Mike, your first pick.
I'm going to go with Yuya Watanabe.
That's a solid pick.
I'm like, who do I want? Pack one, pick one. Okay, I'm gonna go with Yuya or Ifro.
Yuya is like,
Ifro got taken, so.
Well, I mean, they take the colorless 3-mana plus 7 planeswalker.
That was on the list.
I just took, I figured, if Yuya wasn't on your list, I'd be a bit, confused.
Right, so what is going to be your second pick of this draft?
My second pick, he was third on my list. Ifro was toss up between first and second with Yuya. I'm gonna go with Stanislaw Sitha.
You motherfucker! How? Come on, man!
Hey,
dude, how did I have to first pick him? I thought I could get him. I really thought I could get him in a later round.
Well, you would have gotten him next pick if Angelo didn't take Ifro.
Oh.
So.
If anyone,
blame Angela.
Remember, well, I told you during the last show that I was just gonna take him first and I let it go.
I'll give you this one, Mike, man. I hope stands out for you because he's been a little bit of a slump. So.
He has been, but he does like those blue.
I know.
Those two color control decks.
I know.
And from the SCG events these last 2 weeks, that blue, white, and, Thopter Pro deck has looked really solid.
He's great.
That's part of the reason I do like Will's. Because he's like almost playing a Bitter Blossom.
Yeah, exactly. I think if we put him in a blue-black shell with some kind of searching effects, he'll be in a great place, for sure.
Will, what is your second pick?
I guess I hate on, I take Li Shitian. I'm sorry, Angelo, I wanted Stan here, but...
Well, you know what? He was on my list, but he wasn't in my top 3 or 4. He was actually number 5, so... I'm good there.
Good.
My second pick, I'm gonna go with a Pro Tour Hall of Famer who's been on a bit of a roll recently. I am going with Jelger Vigors.
Really?
Solid pick.
He has been just crushing it at the PTs.
That's true.
He's
just locked for a top 16.
Yeah, so I'm going Jelger.
That's such a good pick.
Playing so well as of late, and I'm right on that. With my third pick, sorry, Mike, I'm taking Brad Nelson.
It's a Stan
Fucker. Are you kidding me?
He should have been first pick. You like, pack one, pick one, Brad Nelson, standard.
I was so dead set that no one was going to take him because you both harped on me for taking him last one until I pointed out his previous standard achievements. So.
His standard year has been too good for me to let him go beyond.
God damn you.
Dude, that's the 7th pick in the draft. Like, I mean, how did we let him go past 7?
I couldn't take him for Sifka or Yuya.
Why? Because you didn't want Will to get Sifka? Like, no, you hate drafting instead of taking the player you want.
I mean, you know I play Sifka. That's just what I like to draft. I like to draft Sifka.
I know you do, but I feel like he's going to flourish in this current standard.
Well, of course, so this is why our picks are muddled and Angelo gets a fucking table.
So Will, you gotta pick.
I'm gonna pick Andrew Cuneo, man. I know last Pro Tour was not really great for him. He was only top 100, but he's like top 32 every week, so, or every Pro Tour.
Nice pick. I like it. Mike, what is your third pick?
Well, my third pick, Jesus. You know, I had 4 names written down and 2 of them got taken by Angelo. So.
I did research this time, man. I'm tired of losing. Lost every one of these.
Angelo needs the win. Alright, Angelo, have you ever watched a tabletop series with Will Wheaton?
No, I bought a big old guy.
Okay, well, he's the host.
He was great in, Next Generation, but I think people just over.
He's a good nerd and they play great games every week, but he is the host and he loses every week. So like, you and he have commonality.
Fair, I guess.
Should do a Pidim's Prison movie.
I would absolutely do that in a heartbeat. You know the listeners I'm getting. Mike, what is your next pick, bro?
Third pick is going to be Owen Turtenwald. Mainly because his GP record this year, he is averaging 11-4.
Yeah, his PT record has not been that
good. Hey, I'm gonna take consistency at the GP level and hope that he hasn't been doing well at PTs recently in there at Sifka, but
PTs are a different
feeling. I got a feeling they're gonna turn it around.
If you got a feeling, we'll go with it.
Alright.
What is gonna be your final pick?
I think I popped my head for these.
Oh.
Well, you know, when I only have 4 names written down.
Come on, man, dude! Jesus!
I'll take Huey Jensen.
Okay.
I'll take the other half.
He's also like a long time magic player, so anytime it comes to like 4-level set, these guys excel.
He's a top 60 throw tour every time. No, that's a fine pick.
Yeah, lock ones.
Yeah, if I had to look at Mike's picks, I would say Owen or Sifka is going to be the one that doesn't score for him.
What a Brad, damn you. I'll let Pro go, but damn you.
Will, what is going to be your last pick?
Oh man, I have three names.
Willie Edel.
Yeah, he's not on, and he's just on a down.
He didn't take last time.
I know. Like, I love him, man, I love him, but, I guess I'm gonna take Ari Lax.
There's one.
Yeah, I wanted Sam Black, man, but like, I have the personal tie to Ari Lax, which makes me root for him more. Like, I think one of those two guys, though, is gonna kill it.
I'll tell you what, both of them were on my list, and I did have Ari Lax rated higher than Sam Black.
Good, man, I'm glad we're on the same page. I like that.
Okay, so, I will just tell you guys what's left on my list, and looking at Will, before I do that, I want to look at Will's, and we have PV, DDR, we have Lishi Tien, Andrew Cuneo, and Ari Lax.
Dude, my list is sweet.
Your list is sweet. To pick one that isn't going to score?
Lishi. Oh.
Ari Lax.
Probably Cuneo or PV, DDR.
Yeah. It's cool, though. Like, I got hitters, though, man.
You
like,
did.
I know one's not going to score. I'm trying to not drop two scores here. The idea.
Are you swinging for the fences this one?
I'm swinging for two top 16s and a top 64. That's what my final lineup is here for.
Okay. So my last few that I could pick, one of them could be Yuki, because I always take them.
Yep.
It's time.
Yeah.
Are we gonna implement a trade function
one?
In this draft?
Why?
No.
What's the point?
No. This is the best draft yet. Let's just go with it.
One could be Jacob Wilson.
I like Jacob Wilson, man, but it's not modern.
Absolutely playing insane. One could be LSV, who is taking this format extremely serious. He's tired of losing on day one.
But he needs to prove that he can get to day two.
Yeah, true. One could be Shuhei, who has already proven he knows how to draft this.
I like the Shuhei. Yeah. I do.
One could be Shota, who I think is going to be announced as a Hall of Famer Friday.
Concur.
You know what? I gotta go Yuki.
Killing it.
I'm going Yuki Ichikawa.
It's cool. You gotta drop. You know, like everyone gets a hard pick, and that's a great hard pick.
I mean, he's served me very well in like every one of them, so.
It's good to be in a place where your first three picks give you a fourth pick drop.
Yeah.
And I think you've achieved that this weekend.
I honestly think my fourth pick isn't necessarily a guaranteed drop either.
No. He's a high risk, high reward kind of player. Like he's almost certainly geared for a top or for a ninth place
two.
In the Pro Tour.
He'll
like,
day two.
Oh, no
I'm
doubt.
Sure.
No doubt.
I really wanted that Brad Nelson pick because he's fighting for the at large bid for
and
Worlds right now.
You should
right
have
now.
Taken him and not my.
That's
fucking
why
guy.
He was on my list. So
like, I just have a feeling about Sifka. I can't help
well,
it.
Well, then make sure you give him the C. All right, you like he needs to be the captain.
I'm just gonna say that my top four picks I got.
Yeah, no, I mean you killed it, dude. So you are Ifro,
Jelger Vigersma,
Brad
Nelson,
really good pick. Oh, I didn't even think about Jelger, but he was like top 16 both of the previous two Pro Tours, right?
Yeah, he's done well.
Yeah.
In the last three.
Oh
it's been
man,
one
so bad.
He's been right there.
I'm feeling I'm gonna beat myself hard about this one.
Yeah.
So Ifro, Jelger Vigersma, Brad Nelson, Yuki Chikawa, mine. Will PVDD. Are Lishi Tien, Andrew Cuneo, Ari Lax, Mike, Yuya Watanabe, Stanislav Sifka, Owen Turnwall, Huey Jensen.
Oh, I'm so fucked.
This is going to be, I expect points out of this list. This is probably our best 12 picks we've ever together.
I feel bad.
I still think best draft goes to you last time.
What's up? No. All we have is now, Mike. All
I know.
Now.
And my last one went so well.
All we have is now. All we have is
now.
Dude, I got top 8 in the top 16 draft. All we have is now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but
there is no past. Dude, there is.
I had a top 8. I had a top 4 and fucking lost. So,
I mean, come on, guy. Jeez. Oh, that was the Ben Stark pick that hurt you. Oh, yeah. See, this is why we need the one drop in the system. I like
Ben Stark hurt me in that one, and so did, but at least he got some points. But remember, I also took,
the
Hall of Famer.
Guillaume
Wafatapa, and then last minute he pulled out.
It was visa issue, something even brutal.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, I had no shot. But I had to
talk. This is why the drop system, this is a good draft system. I like it.
Yeah. So, but guys, go ahead. Tell us what you think of our picks when you hear this. Let us know who you think is going
to
win.
Send me messages to Anblo and send me chocolate to, comfort me.
Dude.
I know.
Look, I'm gonna say, okay, the Ifro pick, that's just, that happens when
you
win one.
I expected that one to be gone.
Like Ifro, like when you open Ugin.
I expected Ifro to be gone. If you didn't take it, I honestly didn't expect it to get past Will, unfortunately. No offense to Will, but.
I would have picked Eric.
Really? Okay.
So, and then like, you know, dude, Brad Nelson was the seventh pick in this draft. Like,
I know.
This is a standard tournament. And
I audible Pacifica.
See, you could have, that's the thing though, you could have picked Brad and like, I mean, yeah, you locked me into Sivka, but then I'm locked into Sivka, like, and you know I'm gonna pick it.
Dude, I'm not gonna
like, Nelson was one of your overperformers last time, he top 16 the last one, right? So like,
hey, he was, ninth place, I think.
Right, so like, I mean, I don't understand how you didn't go back to your guns in his wheelhouse. Dude, I know. It's, not only is it a standard, but it's a green standard.
Like, I know it's a standard, but I didn't see him. I didn't see him playing any standard at the SCG events this past weekend.
That's because he has it.
I know, but I did see a Sivka type blue control deck. So
did you see Stan and it did playing well. It?
No, I didn't because he doesn't go to SCG.
Don't know what he's doing.
SCG doesn't do Europe except for GP London.
Yeah, I know, man, but he doesn't do what anyone else does. He thinks on a different plane. He plays 3D chess.
I mean, I moved Brad up in my pick order.
Yeah, you got him, man.
Because I knew I couldn't get him past the third pick.
You know, I might have picked up on him. You know, like, he's in my periphery. I've been even watching some of his content this last week, but
am I gonna have to?
I still don't like him on my
every future draft.
If you want him, yeah, you might have to first pick him.
If it's a standard Pro Tour, he's definitely top four picks. Like.
Or seven.
Can we get it in writing that any future Pro Tour drafts, no. My first pick is always Brad Nelson?
No.
Well, I'll just do so bad this one, I'll get first pick next.
Broderick.
Will took Lee CTN because he knew I was going to take it.
Broderick, it's a digital format.
Yep.
It is.
Look, let's
see. We didn't even have pens.
You might get him next, PT, because you might be picking first, depending on how you do
yep.
this one.
That's my goal. That was my goal for this.
So.
I picked Lee CTN for a specific reason, Stein. It's not, pure Angelo hate. It's that I think he's going to play a rally deck.
Do you?
That was the same reason I just said, okay, well, it wasn't anything against you. It was just,
yeah, no,
I have a feeling.
Fair, man. You know, I didn't think about Sivka going on rally. I associate him so much with Dirtle Blue and like Dirtle Blue.
Well, not with rally, but with the Thopter Spy Network control deck.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so you think you just think that Dirtle Blue is great right now?
I feel like it is a very fine suited deck.
Yeah, no,
I don't see any weak matchup it has. Because even the rally decks has Arpass.
You give him Darksteel Citadels, and also Thopter Spy Network. He will get it. Yeah.
Well, you know
what? Ranches.
Realistically, Mike, you would have
Think
Brad Nelson had I got Lee CTN, because I was actually going to pick him because of the Jeskai Tokens deck that has done fairly well. Like, I mean,
I don't know that
he likes Jeskai,
though. I just think he's going to play the most broken combo deck. I think, like, Lee Shi is one of those guys who finds the best lines no matter what. Like, that's why he was so great with the Ascendancy decks. He just, like, isolates the best possible line. He just knows all of the mathematical percentages and is lucky enough to get the right one. He picks, he gets the right calls as well.
I have a feeling, like, Brad's going to play a rally.
Rally's really, really powerful right now. See, I think Brad's going to play, he's going to grind, like, I've been watching a lot of the Star City Games coverage lately. And what he's been doing, and I think he's going to be playing some kind of Elvish Mystic strategy. He thinks Elvish Mystic is time
format. If he's not on like the green red devotion, he's definitely going to be on rally because I feel like if you're doing green X, green red devotion is one of the strongest green decks you could be playing.
I don't think he's play that though. I think he has something better than that. I think he has the Trump that.
But,
that's why
I just have a feeling about Rally because he was so big on the, Aristocrats decks when they were in standard with Innistrad Block. And to me, Rally kind of has
that
same feel to
that. That was Sam Black.
Well, nah, he
but
was
Brow on. Was heavy.
Right,
yeah, Brow was heavy on second and third iterations.
As a second and third generation player when it was Sam Black and it was, Tom Martell who made the lists famous. Yeah. No.
That is true, but then
he evolved it
to two other decks after.
Well, so what you're saying is he hangs
stay with.
So guys, one last question before we take the break. Each one of you, give me a number. Over under on Tormod's Crypts in sideboards of the top 8.
Overreaction 20. For over under, I'll call it 12.5.
Okay. Mike, what's your number?
Under 8.
Me and Mike is the exact same. It's going to be 8 be the over under. You think it's going to be under 8?
I think there's overreaction, man. I think everything I've read this week, like, I'm pretty sure at least 3 people show up with 4 of it in the sideboard.
See, I'm expecting to see 2 in 4 different decks.
See, I'm expecting to see two in a lot of decks. I'm expecting to see one in almost universal decks, and then I'm expecting to see the decks that are like dirtle green decks that are going to have four ofs. Yeah, four ofs. For sure. Like, it's an overreaction.
I just feel like some people aren't going to feel comfortable playing that card.
It's also just the Pro Tour, too, and, like, people are better than everyone else.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably wildly specking.
I mean, I can see, like, if the thought was fine, well, I show up, I can see it in there. But...
Can I take the over? Is it too early? I take the over.
Well, let me see here. Let me do, you know, quick mathematicals and stuff. All right.
So will you're over 12?
No, if the over-under is 8 that you both said, I definitely take over.
It's not going to be 8. Okay. I can promise you that. So let me see here. We have 8 + 8 + 12.3 = 16 + 4.5 = 28.5. So 28.5 divided by 3 is 9.5 is the pit-in average.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So over under on 9.5. Will has it
under.
I will still take over.
Okay.
I skewed us.
Will's gonna say over. Mike is taking under.
Under. Yep.
I would take push, but it's an odd number.
Yeah, you can't take push on a 5. Let's try.
You can just say solid 9.
I'm going to go probably under. I understand your reasoning, Will. I'm gonna go under. But it's going to be a card I am gonna look for all weekend. We're gonna take a quick break and we return in just a moment.
Okay, so normally right now you'd get this quick blurb about how we're brought to you by brainstormbrewery.com and so on and so forth. Well, I made the decision to pull the financial support. They no longer are a paid sponsor of us. So what does that mean to you, the listeners? What that means to you is you're not going to hear that blurb anymore. You're probably not going to see the link necessarily in the show description. However, if you listen to our show through their website, that shouldn't change much at all. It'll still go up as often as I possibly can put it up. I've missed a few recently, and that's part of the reason why I've asked for the financial support to be removed, because I wasn't really living up to my end of the expectations. So, but they're still our friends. We still are going to work together. You know, they still have left their site open for me to post the show, and I will. But just because we've kind of changed our arrangement doesn't mean that I don't think you guys should go check out brainstormbrewery.com. It doesn't mean that I don't think you guys should go check out the Brainstorm Brewery. It is the finest financial podcast in MTG. You should absolutely go check that stuff out. So, in closing, please just, you know, show these guys the support they deserve. They've been great people, and I've enjoyed the past 2 years working with them. And I look forward to working with them in the future. Brainstormbrewery.com, Brainstorm Brewery Podcast. Check it out. Now back to the show.
We be back and stuff.
Here we are.
So it's the what's up portion of the show. Who wants to tell me what they've been up to first?
Oh, I will. It's short.
Work.
Hey, I got plans for this weekend. I was going to go to a bonfire last Friday, but no one else showed up, which was sad.
To play with fire all by yourself if that happens. That's great.
It's a good night. Fire and beer by yourself equals great.
Yep, when you burn yourself, no one there to help you. It's fucking
safe.
Yeah, but there's no witnesses to a girl being awesome and dodging fireballs.
That's why you leave your camera on a tripod on your phone.
Duh.
So you can't get to it to call 911.
Yeah. Hopefully, I plan to do something similar to that this coming weekend, so.
Sweet. Will, what the hell are you going to do? You said it was quick. I was just going to let it go. People were calling shenanigans on you last week, Mike.
Whoa. I know.
So I played a lot of cube draft, and that gave me a lot of these ideas about magic, so I spent the 34 necessary ticks to buy myself a collected company Merfolk list.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's, it's awesome. It's really, really, really great. Anything with an island is clearly a buy.
You run a Curious Follower?
No. I'm running, it's a mono blue. It's okay. Mono blue Merfolk with, 2 dismembers, 4 collected companies, and 1 main deck, 1 sideboard Simic Charms as my splashes. And then I also have 3 Feed the Clans as sideboard splash, because gaining 10 life against Burn is absurd.
It is?
Yeah, it is absurd. It is just game winning. So, I've been working on it for like 5 days now. I played in 3 tournaments and I've 2-2'd every tournament, which is like really frustrating. One of them I was, very drunk and missed lethal on board against the gun deck. I left back my Master of Waves, and then after attacks, he was a 2, and I was like, oh, I should have done math. You know, like, oh, derp. And then he like top decks, oh god, who's the vampire? The red black vampire?
Olivia Voldaren.
Oh god, and he just like gets her and murders all my Tukens. And like, and I just top, so I have this problem where like, dude, my deck is awesome. Like really is a really great deck, but like anytime I go top deck mode, I draw three lands. Like, I'll show.
Any of the Mutavault?
Yeah, sometimes ish. I mean, like enough so you know, like I mean, I try and make plays, and I've made like five major misplays in tournament matches over like 12 tournament rounds. So I'm clearly not in any kind of Magic Lane shape right now, but like, I think my deck is really great, and it feels a lot like the deck that I paid rent with. So I'm gonna try and just continue to work on it. I think my 75 is just awesome right now.
Can we expect this list out of you for GP Pittsburgh?
It's gonna either be this one or the Merfolk list that I have that plays Thoughtseize. It's one or the other. Like, I'm gonna play Fish unless unless a broken deck comes up that's like combo-y, but I don't think any of those exist. So like, I'm probably playing Fish. Stylistically, it's what I want to line up with, and I love the cards that I have, so,
Plus, it's probably a lot of, quote-unquote muscle memory for you, because you played that deck so much.
Yeah, a lot of it is, but like, dude, I've learned a whole bunch of stuff, like, Marrow Regirae plus Aether Vial. Wow. Yes. Jesus. Man, I had two Marrow Regirae's and two Aether Vials in plays. I vialed in two guys, I played one guy, and then I vialed in two guys, and I swung for 22 when I had two attacking guys. Like, it was just bonkers, stupid, nuts. The Collected Company gives the deck such a top end, and it gives, theoretically, it gives it a top decking value, but like, I top decker shit, so it sucks. You know, like I'm like, oh god, I'm in this situation where I have like, I can top deck any of my Master of Waves or my Collected Companies, and I just like win the game, and I just like whiff four turns in a row. I'm like, land, Aether Vial, land. Like, oh. but I'm loving it. I'm playing a lot of Magic. I played two pre-releases, which were marginal success. It was like a
six. What colors did you choose?
So I chose the blue and opened a Hangerback Walker, which I thought was great. Mulligan to Oblivion, and then kept a three lander and never saw another one. Round two, like, thought everything was good, Hangerback Walker, and then just like double +4/+4, and okay. Yeah. You know, like, a real, you know, I mean, just, you know, so that was shenanigans, and then the other one was like a black-red deck, and yeah, I was pretty drunk, so I probably didn't build a good one.
Did you have Active Treasons and Nantuko Husks?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh no, I didn't. I had value. I had black red value. Like, that's how you build the archetype, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, value is never a bad thing to have. So,
but can't, you know, never nonetheless, have too playing a ton of Magic, which like I really think is great because I don't do that enough. Played Warcraft 3 this week for the first time ever, which is great. So I'm pretty good on that for a while, and I'm going back to a World of Warcraft vanilla server to just like isolate the my ideas here. Is I'm just going to isolate everything I'm doing and try and really perfect what's happening. And I have like 3 months to work until Pittsburgh. Yeah. I'm also hanging out with Liz, trying to open a restaurant and being very stressed on a daily basis.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah.
Dude, being a business owner, man.
I applied for an LLC this week. I have a business lawyer. I filed tax preparations. I have an employee identification number.
You're gonna taxes.
Yeah.
Will's gonna be like part of society now?
Jeez. Hired a contractor. I hired an architect. I mean, like, work.
Well, you could be a contractor and an architect with alcohol.
I used an architect stand, and I drew drawings for a landlord of his space with renovations at a 1/8 inch equals 1 foot scale on graph paper in under 3 hours that were approved.
Impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, life is half.
Taste a beer and it gets even more artistic.
No, it doesn't. No, it took me like a day and a half of trying to not drink to be, that and a lot of fear, to finish drawing.
Sobers you up.
Healthy dose of fear.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, I mean, like, my life is crazy. Jesus. Sorry about this one.
No, that's good, man. You know, best of luck on me. So, like, I told you guys about the tooth thing.
Jesus Christ, that sucks.
Yeah, so, like, I'm still on the antibiotics and what have you and getting through that, trying to, waiting for my mouth to actually, the swelling to go down. I don't know if it's still swollen because it's still abscessed or because the tooth's gone or if it's because the tooth has been ripped out and it's still healing. But yesterday I threw my back out, like, bad. Dude, I was stuck in a completely bent over position.
Yeah, my like, I mean, I don't mean to pile on or anything, but my back has been in a place recently that is worse than ever. Yeah. So, like, I feel you. Like, yeah. I feel like I feel you. I've had screaming back issues recently as well, so.
Yeah, I came home, I had my wife, I left work early, I had my wife give me a back rub.
Yeah, that's, man, hopefully it's the good ones.
Yeah, well, at one point I was screaming.
Yeah, that's the good ones.
And then she said, all of a sudden it was quiet, and then, yeah, like, a minute and a half later I was screaming again. I don't remember the quiet.
Good.
So apparently I passed out while, yeah, she was doing it, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got an elbow back rub today, actually, which, like, was audible on the second floor of my house from the basement.
Yeah, so. I mean, lots of screaming, yeah, and everything. Yeah. And it was like, I was quiet. Dude. She just, I guess, she just kept going.
Yeah.
And then all good of a sudden, her, I'm just screaming again. It's like, oh,
out of babs. Out of babs.
She's like, I think you passed out. Wow. Hey,
I heard a torture method that involves that, an electroshock.
Right? I did get to play some Magic this week. Which was awesome. I got in a few Origins drafts, and I did an old school, because I had packs, why not? I did a Dragon's Fate Reforged.
Dragons!
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't had enough of those lately.
It, I mean, I don't know, it's not the greatest format, but it's not a bad one either.
It's not. It's actually really sweet. If it wasn't for the fact that dragons were stacking on the cards, it would be a great one.
Yeah, right. As long as the Dragon Lords, as long as you don't play against the Dragon Lords, it seems really fun.
If, I mean, like, if it just said, like, card text instead of dragons, awesome.
If it just didn't have dragons, it would be just absolutely amazing. Well, you every know, time somebody goes Ojutai, go book.
I get you.
So there's that. But this weekend I plan on prepping for a PPTQ 1K sealed.
Where is that? I'm
playing a lot of Origins as a Titan.
Really?
Yeah, on the 8th of August, I believe. So
will we see you there, Will?
Yes. Yeah. So I am going to be this weekend getting in some sealed deck online, trying to get myself ready for it.
I forgot.
It also gets you ready for Detroit.
It also preps me for Detroit, so that'll be interesting, I guess. If Detroit happens.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I lost a third partner and still don't have one yet, so.
Yeah, I might have lost a sketchy rookie, so. That would be a problem. Moving to, shout outs. Let me give a shout out first and foremost to you two for taking over last week. Like, you have no clue how much I appreciated that.
Oh, shucks, man. You could have done it a while ago.
Yeah, and the fact that you just didn't shit on me the whole time.
Not the whole time, just when Mardu popped
up. I mean, just, you know, which, like.
By the way, I'm just gonna say it right now, that Mardu deck I wouldn't have said two words about. Like, that's how, that's very really? Close to my list. And just
so that's our.
Okay.
So rewind, guys. Let's go back to 128 and let's just, every time we talk about Mardu Dragon, let's just put that list in. Yeah, hey, but we'll have to have Angelo do an overdub wherever where he goes over the list. It's like Mardu Dragons and here's the list. You know, in case.
Should have left it blank and like, okay, on an A plus Mardu Dragons and Angelo's gonna go over this.
Oh,
pause for like,
man, hindsight two, 3 minutes is and start so again. Funny. Jesus. Bring that's a great Angelo bit.
I also need to give a shout out to John Tan, owner of Titan Game Shop with Chris. He's been doing some awesome things, and like that store is amazing.
Yeah, I saw a thing.
No, you can't talk about it. I'll explain later.
Sorry, you don't get to know, Internet.
Yeah, I also want to give a shout out to everybody who reached out to me, you know, during my this past week when I was gone. Everybody reached out, was awesome. I want to give a specific one though to Braden Defoe because he had me howling, which didn't feel good, but at least it was funny. So, you know, you're going to get gold grill with pit imps and diamonds written through the front of your teeth.
Wow. Can I get a Patreon for that?
Like, dude, I mean, I was like, yeah, I wish, because that means I could afford anything more than what I am now. Sure. Like, that would be amazing, but it made me laugh. So, you know, I definitely want to give him, you know, a shout out specifically for that. Will, do you have any shout outs?
I will give a shout out to my lovely girlfriend Liz's elbows.
Yeah.
Oof, just man. Elbows. They're sharp. They howling pain. Good. Also I would love to give a shout out to Simic Charm, Collected Company, Narrow Regere, and Spreading Seas as overperformers.
Anti-shout-out. Undervalued card.
Yeah, yeah. Anti-shout-out to Jund as,
I'm drunk.
Anti-shout-out to me being drunk.
Anti-shout-out to Matt.
That's it?
Oh, okay. I thought you were just being quiet because he was busting your balls. Mike, yeah, shout out to Home Depot.
If they ever decide to give me that promotion or not, they've been, you know, dragging their asses for almost a month and a half now.
Yeah, it's a corporation. What do you think?
Yeah.
If people want to get a hold of you, Mike, how do they do so?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter at...
Okay.
At Huntmaster Mike.
Huntmaster_Mike. I think Mike disappeared in the show.
At Huntmaster_Mike. That's his Twitter, and he's MTGX Mike on MTGO.
Right. And Will, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, man. They should definitely talk to Michael Broderick at Huntmaster_Mike.
God damn it. Anti-shout-out to Skype.
All right. Okay. Will, before you came back, you would not believe how many times that would happen during a show, because it was just me and him. It would shut the show down. I'm like, motherfucker.
It's the worst. And I would keep talking for like 5 minutes before I realized anything.
Yeah, I believe that entirely. So, that's me. You can get a hold of me at, that's Huntmaster_Mike. That's Twitter.
On Twitter. Yep. Or on our lovely Twitter's Facebook page.
MTGX Mike on Magic Online.
Right? Yes.
I'm just on Facebook, man. I'm on the Fit Imps Facebook group.
The Fit Imps Facebook group.
Fit Imps Facebook group, drunken_ whatever these kids do these days. Hashtag, that's what it is, right? that's where I am.
Pound sign, drunk.
And if you want to get a hold of me, just listen to the episodes.
Awesome. If you want to get a hold of me, you get a hold of me at Gongsu on Twitter and on MTGO. I already told you guys I'll be there this weekend.
Shout out to Duclaw. I apologize. It's so out of turn.
So if you want to join the clan, look for me this weekend and ask me, and I will put you in the clan.
Angelo, how to spell your names on there?
It starts with a G and ends with a U.
No, I like when you leave some in history. It's like lingerie.
Right. Yeah. It'll be in the show description.
Yeah, then it all goes away real quick.
You can also get over to pitimpodcast@gmail.com. If there's something a little more long form, you can find me each and every week right here on the Pit Imps Podcast.
Really?
We should really
tell me about the Pit Imps Podcast.
Courtesy of the MTG Cast Network. Brought to you each and every week by Tech Game Shop.
Dude, killing it, man. That was good.
But next week, we have Pro Tour Origins, and, like, it's a Pro Tour, so, you know, we take those very seriously. Like,
it's the last fucking course at Pro Tour, dude.
It is. We have a Player of the Year race we're watching very closely. We also have the Hall of Fame announcement on Friday, so we're gonna find out who gets in.
So, are the world stuff, is that over as of the casting of this, or is that still going next week?
No, I think Pro Tour is the last,
Pro Tour is the last day.
So this is a big week of Magic.
Yep.
Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of crazy announcements to make this week.
Yeah, there's like a bottom, like 4 to 6 people who can get passed easily with this Pro Tour, so yeah. A lot of people on edge.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting. Golds and Platinums is all up for grabs. This
and the, at-large bids for Worlds.
Oh, god damn, it's exciting. Very, really looking forward to that, but until then.
Do I go first? Fuck it all.
Well, it's cock or nothing.
Have a good one, folks. And go fuck yourself.